So let me light you a minute.
Oh.
I used to smoke.
You used to, but you don't anymore.
I started to burn my throat.
Oh, I see.
Really bad. So, you know, like I had to drink coke.
Well, it used to on me. You know, when I catch cold, then
stay a long time.
It stays a long time, so I stop my cigarette. But as soon as I can inhale my smoke, I'm right back again. I keep saying, "Oh, I'm going to quit," when you know it hurts me. But when it goes away, oh, I'm back right again.
I don't know. I guess I get scared when all that stuff.
Well, you're smart.
I tell you, no, I really couldn't. I couldn't do it anymore. And also, I sing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my voice to go out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. I thank God, Ruben's here.
Ruben's here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Oh.
Last 2 nights.
Oh, what group are you with?
Well, I just sing by myself.
Oh, I see.
You know, kind of holly kind of folk songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good extra money, huh?
We paid for dinner and breakfast and lunch.
Yeah. Well, it's a good deal.
You know, they gave us free meals.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a gig set up yet. I just walked in and asked if they wanted. That's good.
Well,
anybody
maybe
in your family?
What?
Musical?
Well, yeah, my brother. I have a brother, two of them. Very musical. They like to play instruments, you know. And I have a sister that likes to sing, but the rest of us, well, I can't sing to save my soul. But my two brothers are very talented on guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, they can hear it and then they pick it on a guitar. They never did take a lesson.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the best way.
Yeah. I mean,
I took one. Mm-hmm. Half.
Well, I wish I can be like that, but I never cannot.
It's hard. Do you folks speak Visayan at all?
Oh, yeah. No, not all the time.
I mean...
Occasionally,
anytime.
I mean, when I talk among with Filipinos, well, I can understand more or less.
How about Ilocano?
I understand.
Understand also.
But I speak just a little bit. And, well, broken, like we say, broken, a little bit Visayan, a little bit Ilocano, and a little bit Tagalog. But when to talk Visayan fluently, yeah, I'm right there.
Oh, sure, that's
you. Uh-huh. Not every Visayan can. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of Filipinos. I think 3/4 of the Filipinos that born on this island, Hawaiian Islands, you can't talk Filipino. The generation now, my generation, yeah, can. But generation now cannot. My own children cannot even talk Filipino. Would you believe that?
I guess it happens. My wife's Japanese, yeah?
Uh-huh.
She cannot talk Japanese.
Because you know why? My parents used to talk Filipino to me. That's how I learned. And when my children grow up, I talk English to them because I feel when I went to school, I had the hardest time. I had that Filipino accent, you see. And I can't understand my teacher. I understand Filipino better than my teacher. So I had to talk English to my children so when they go to school, they understand the teacher, you see.
That's true. But then when they do go to school, at the same time you can teach them Visayan at home.
Yeah, at home, yeah.
They can learn, you know, Visayan for talking with parents.
You see, my children, they'll understand Visayan, but to talk fluently, they cannot. And it's I find that if they can talk fluently Visayan Filipino, they cannot talk fluently English. It's hard. It was hard for me at the very beginning. I had to be among white people half of the time.
Yeah.
Then I can talk, you know.
It's just you got it right on the
button. Yeah.
Who you talk with.
Huh?
If you talk with mostly Filipino, you're not going to be able to talk English.
No.
If you talk mostly English, you're not going to be able to talk.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Half and half.
Mm-hmm. But like nowadays, English is big demand, you know.
Yeah.
You see.
You got to be able to talk English around
someone. Yeah. Hanalei,
yeah.
Yeah, Hanalei, that's right. You see, like now you go in public and there's a lot of howlers. I noticed these Filipinos from the Philippines, they talk good English, but they get that Philippine accent. These Haulis cannot understand them, you know. And you know, it's a shame.
What is it? What's the song?
Well, like they say, when they say, how are you? You know, they say, how are you? You know. And when you're from the mainland, you don't understand, you know. And like you say, oh, it's very hot, you know. They would say, oh, very hot.
Very hot.
Yeah. No, the Haulis don't know what that means, what is very hot, you know. But like English, they say, oh, it's so hot, you know. But the Filipinos tell, oh, very hot, you know. That's why it's hard.
That's why hard, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, you know, the Haulis from the mainland, they cannot understand anything.
Bad enough, the local people, the way they, you know, the broken English is hard already for the mainland people to understand. What more the Philippine accent, you know?
Yeah, I have the Philippine accent.
Oh, it's terrible.
I was talking to a couple guys in Kealia. Lazaro.
Oh, Lazaro, they call that. Not Lazaro.
Lazaro.
Saro.
The accent on the last syllable.
Yeah. Saro. Ro, you know.
Saro.
Yeah. But American, Lazaro.
Yeah,
huh? Lazaro. Like my last name is American way, they pronounce R-U-B-I-I-O is Rubio, huh?
Yeah.
But Filipino, Rubio.
You know, I've been going around saying, I gotta go talk to Rose Rubio, and everybody say, oh, Rose Rubio. I mean, not talking about Haulis, I'm talking about Japanese.
Yeah.
Because they got the Haulis pronunciation.
Yeah, that's right. They get the Haulis pronunciation already.
Yeah, I don't know. I get this friend at the university, married a Filipino girl. From Manila.
Yeah. The girl from Manila.
Yeah.
And who
she's
is this?
The same age as me, but they've already had about 5 children.
Oh. My brother-in-law, he was going to university, and he works for I don't know what company now, but I know he was with one bank. Pacific Saving and Loans, I think. And his wife is from the Philippines. She was going to university. And, she come from a prominent family. They sent her down here to study because she was playing around in the Philippines. They thought, you know, would solve a problem.
Oh,
she found another guy over here. She found my brother-in-law, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
that didn't solve no problem. They got married. So she's home. She didn't finish what she was going for, you know. She want to be, dress designer.
Yeah.
She's really good at it, but when you get married and have children, well, you cannot continue that. So I don't know when she's going to continue.
Oh, geez, you get sidetracked, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to go in one direction.
So I asked her, when are you going back? She said, I don't know. Babysitter is so expensive now. I said, oh, yes. Didn't think about that.
Did you go to school Honolulu. Yeah, that's where you were.
I tell you, I didn't go to no high school.
So you went through what grade?
Only till up eighth grade. But I picked up whatever knowledge by reading book and by going do home studies and stuff like that. That's how I worked Navy Yard at Pearl Harbor, civil service.
Mm-hmm.
Then I worked off and on kind of job. Then I was working for the federal over here post office for a while. Then I had to quit doctor's orders. Naval Air Station, Pearl Harbor. You know where it's Ford Island? Yeah, that's where I work during the wartime.
Wartime?
Wartime.
Were you there when the bombing
came? Yes.
You were in Ford Island. Were you working at that time?
No. Right after the bombing, then I worked Ford Island. That's when all this government job was open for everybody. So I was working as a clerk type, as a mail clerk over there. That's how I got my training. I didn't know no beans about typing, you know, or mail clerk, you see, because I was young at the time, freshly out of grammar school. And then,
how old
at that time? Well, after grammar school, and I was only 16 years old, 16 when the war broke out. Then I went in Pearl Harbor and worked at Navy Yard, Naval Air Station. Then I started as a messenger girl. For messenger girl, I started as a mail clerk. Then I went to both sides, mail clerk and clerk typist. So when the post office had opening over here, they had a record of mine at, you know, civil service. So I got in post office. But I'm not working there no more.
Okay.
Medical discharge.
Does that give you benefits?
Yeah, it'll give me benefits when I get my age, you know.
So you get pension from even though you have medical discharge.
Yeah, medical discharge.
Oh.
The doctor stopped me. Too much complication. Overactive thyroid, high blood pressure, all kinds of junks.
Working too hard, yeah?
I don't know, old age.
Kind of a hustle over there.
Yes, I'm telling you. No, you know, people looking from outside, they say, gee, you're lucky you get a job in a post office. They ain't lucky, they just better try get in there and see what it lucky means.
Yeah. Let's try it out before you talk about lucky, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Jeez. Yeah, she works hard, boy. I come in there and she's trying to talk to me and work with me. Get everything all
away. Yeah, and then you know when the mail come in late, that's where fall you up everything.
Yeah.
And people, the kids, you know,
isn't
mail ready yet? Oh,
don't you have my package?
Oh, that's enough to get your blood pressure room up. I just look at them and I say, no. Isn't mail ready? General delivery 11:30. It's 11:45 now. Oh, you could just wring their neck, you know.
That's a little buggers.
Oh, boys.
Yeah, that's kids. They're all such kids, you know. They're such babies. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to take care of themselves or anything.
They want to be treated like a baby, so.
Yeah, they want everybody to mother them.
Yeah, but we don't have time to mother all of them. You mother one, you have to mother everyone, you know.
Everybody in the wing.
Yeah.
I bet there are a few people, you know. My grandma, my wife's grandma in Maui, calls my wife's grandpa number one hippie die show.
Why?
Because he got a service station, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, he's pretty much retired, you know.
Yeah,
he still pumps, gets on the station. It's just a hobby for him, you know.
Yeah.
But the kids come and they borrow tools, you know.
Yeah.
He says, well, as long as they treat me okay, you know.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay.
As long as they don't give me no trouble. I'm not gonna.
But they don't bring back the tools half of the time.
If they do that, they get in trouble with the old man. They never get to borrow anything. I think he's pretty good. He's a smart man.
Yeah.
He doesn't have, you know.
I guess he won't lend them too unless he don't know them. You know, if he don't know them too well, he won't lend it out.
It's gotta get to him. Well, but anyway. Grandma doesn't especially like it because they come and take her food. Like one time, one guy came and asked her if he could have some mangoes. So she said, sure. He took some.
Mm.
Next day, 10 guys came
and
stripped the trees.
Oh my goodness. No permission at all.
I guess he thought he had permission.
Yeah, yeah. Figure one person had permission, so the rest is okay, huh?
Yeah. Kids don't understand about things. But I bet things have really changed like that, you know, around here,
no? Well, right now everything changed. They're not that bad. You mean in Hanalei?
Yeah.
No, I don't find any problem.
Nobody takes things.
No, I mean, no.
There are a lot more young guys, young transients, you know, hanging around the place now than there were 10 years ago. Right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, with the hippies, if you're talking about the hippies, we don't have no problem with the hippies. None at all. I think it's the local boys that causes the trouble. See, before, the first time the hippies was around here, they minded their own business. It's the local boys that bothered them. So naturally, there's trouble, you see. They never did stop the trouble at first. They always were on their own side. Mm. They always mind their own business. My next door neighbor is a hippie. There are a bunch of hippies over there. But they don't bother. Never did. So the boys, the island boys that bother, that goes around and, you know, rough them up and stuff like that. But not nowadays. Maybe the law goes after them, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't hear much about it now.
You've got to keep the peace in mind.
Sure. Uh-huh. And, well, I guess word goes around that don't get mixed up with the island boys.
Yeah.
Because island boys, they're pretty rough, too. You know, at the very beginning, they're going to say, oh, let's drink together. And then when they start feeling high, then they say, oh, let's give this guy licking, you know.
Yeah.
And the poor fellow don't know what's going on after he's all filled up with liquor, but by the time he know it, but the next day he get up, he's all bruised up, and he don't know who beat him up, you see. So we don't have that trouble now, but the very first beginning, yeah, had trouble.
Big Island had plenty of trouble.
Big Island too, yeah. So, but now it's okay, huh?
I think so. I haven't heard anything from
him. Mm-hmm. Now it's okay over here.
Have things changed over here?
Mm-hmm.
Like price of food and things, you know, just the way, you know.
Terrible.
Cost of living.
It's terrible.
Since when you were young.
Mm-hmm. Really. I mean, I felt the change, let's see, was slowly changing, but this past month, really, it sure jumped way up high. I mean, you're even afraid to even eat already nowadays.
What about when you were young, when you were a kid, was about, you know, 10 or 15 years old?
Oh, everything was so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in a store, you buy $5-$10 worth, you can hardly carry the packages. Now, when I go in a store, the other day, I went in a store, it amounted $22, and I look in a package, what makes $22? Really, it's just one small package, which before $22 was about three big, you know, the shopping packages, about three to four, it's $24. Now, that's why I tell my husband, well, I guess we better stop joining the Federation, you know, these kind of people that don't eat too much.
Yeah,
like Filipinos, they have a federation.
Yeah.
They call federation, they eat only vegetable, raw vegetable. No meat, nothing cooked,
good,
you know.
Body.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good. It's something like health food, you know. They have I don't know if you notice in Honolulu, like in Kalihi, these Filipino people, because in Kalihi, that's where, way up the mountain, that's where all these Federation people live. They have long hair. They put, you know, the men roll up their hair and put a cap over it. When you go to Honolulu, you try, if you see any men. Kalihiuka side. They have they put a hat on, and their hair is long.
I see.
Yeah, that's Federation. And that's the strong ones. That's the ones that don't eat no cooked food, all raw. No meat, no fish, just vegetable.
No fish?
No, because they have to cook that. Eh?
Yeah.
Even the meat they have to cook. So, but the not the The ones that not strong ones, well, they eat cooked ones, cooked kind. You see. But I think, as I told my husband, we're getting to be the point that we have to watch our diet.
What did he say?
He said, "Why? Well, it's so expensive, the food nowadays. You walk in a store, the steak that you used to buy, let's see, about 80, 90 cents a piece before. Now it's about 240. Out of the question. Oh, yesterday I went in a market, find something for sirloin steak. I told my lady friend, forget it. I'm not going to buy no $5 steak, you know.
Do you do most of shopping here?
No, in Kapa or Big Save in Lihu, you know, the shopping center. That's Mr. Weinberg's place.
Oh, yeah.
That's his shopping center.
Did he give you a discount?
Well, no. I mean, he just bought that place. That building is his, but not the store.
The store, he just rents to
them. Yeah, he rents it out to the folks.
You know, it seems to me that you'd have to, you know, the people mostly shopping in Kapa and Lihu.
Yeah.
A long way to drive, yeah.
But it's worth it.
Really?
Because you go after for the sale, you see. Like I tell you, for a can, I can tell you this. For a can of corned beef, over here is $1.65, whereas in Kapa, $1.06, you know.
So right there you save the price of 2 gallons of gas.
Sure, sure. Because you're going to buy quite a bit of stuff, you know. Like soap suds now. Oh, it's Ching Yang's, the two kids that work in a store. Like soap suds now. It's $1.39 for big box. Over here, it's $1.95. I compare the price. My husband works for the store.
Yeah, I know. I went over there to check.
Yeah.
If you were over there,
I don't deal with it. I mean, I deal with the store, whatever I need at the very last minute, you know. But
if you're cooking and you can't get the
best. Yeah. But to depend my food on that store, boy, I'll never survive.
Well, yeah. What's your favorite food, Philippine food? Do you like to do adobo, lots of adobo, or what?
Well, adobo, I like adobo.
Yeah.
But that is an expensive food now because pork is expensive. And you need quite a bit of pork to make adobo. Sure, because after the oil, you know, comes out from the fat, it shrinks, you see. Like you make a pot full of adobo, after the adobo is cooked, it's about 3/4 full. And you know how expensive pork is. So now, what I do if I cook adobo, I'll get a piece of a belly pork and I'll get a turkey wing. It's cheap turkey wing. And I cut up the turkey wing and I put it together and I cook adobo. And boy, that's delicious.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Adobo and they call it pinakbet, you know.
Pinakbet.
Yeah, bitamelon, pork, and eggplant, you see. I mean, you have to. You cannot live too expensive on this world. It's too expensive.
You grow bitamelon yourself?
Huh?
You grow some bitamelon in your garden?
I used to. But not on this climate over here.
Cannot go on.
Well, too much bugs and too salty the breeze. The salt breeze burned the leaves.
Oh, yeah.
You see, like in Kilauea, I used to raise my own bitter melon.
You're a pie.
Huh?
It's a pie.
Yeah, I mean, away from the sea breeze, you know. And we used to raise our own eggplant when my children was all home. I raised bitter melon, eggplant, string beans, but now they're all married, so just my husband and I, so we don't raise vegetables.
Yeah. you know, it's hard, especially. Do you folks live here at this place?
Right here, yeah. We live here. This is Weinberg's place. Yeah. We take care of his place. And he have another place at Anini, we take care.
Right.
Uh-huh. And, well, when before the plantation closed down, he asked us to move down here because nobody lives here and he wants somebody to stay here and watch the place. So we're taking the bottom floor. And when he comes down, if he feel like sleeping upstairs, he sleep upstairs. If not, he goes to Anini and sleep. And he just stay overnight and go back to Honolulu. And then, well, he never one place too long. Stays Honolulu, I don't know how long. Then he goes to Maui. He have business in Maui. Then he goes to the East Coast. So right now, I don't even know where he's at. You see? Well, he calls me before he gets here. Let's see, 1 hour before he board the plane, calls me long distance from Honolulu. Like, for instance, if he's catching the 8 o'clock flight, 7 o'clock he'll call me that I'm boarding the 8 o'clock flight. You see?
Wonder, is he local?
No, he's not local. No. He's a mainland man. But he had this HRT business for quite some time, eh? But
do you feel like he's coming kind of local again?
Well, no.
Still talk?
Yeah.
Holly,
yeah. Holly. Holly. I don't know. I feel that maybe because of his position, he don't try to. I guess he just have to watch, you see. Because he's a multi-billionaire, well, he cannot join with like us kind, you know, just... He just have to watch out who his company is.
I don't know.
That's what I think, you know.
Just the reality, too.
Uh-huh. That's how I feel.
Oh, jeez.
But... He is a nice man to talk to.
Well, you folks must be very happy with your arrangement, right?
Oh, yeah, we are. You see, we worked for him, let's see, about 7 years, 7 to 8 years. And you have to know him. He's a man that you cannot get close to in few minutes. You see, I worked for him for about, let's see, 2-3 years before he came close to us, you know, sit around and talk to us. Before that, he just treated us like a worker, you know, when he come in. I want this done, that's all. He won't even sit around and talk to you. But I guess his ways of studying you first. So now, when he comes down, he sit around here and talk to us and talk story with us. But he's a hard man to get close to. I tell everybody, he's not an easy man to get close to.
What do people around
here
think of him?
What
do people around here think of him? Do they get a chance to talk with
him? No.
He just comes and goes.
Yeah, comes and goes. He just come and go. So do you think he's a... They asked me, oh, he's a very hard man, huh? I said, no. He said, well, he don't talk to nobody. I said, well, if he gets something to talk to that person, he'll approach the person and talk to him. But he's not going to just walk around and go from house, you know, try to. I said, no, he's not. He is. He's a man that, you have to call him up first if you like to see him. And then you have to tell him the reason. And if he's not interested, he'll tell you. He'll tell you, just wasting your time, I'm not interested. And if he is, he'll tell you, come. And then you better be there on the time. Like, let's say if he says 6 o'clock, you better be there 6 o'clock. No 6:15 or 6:20.
No Hawaiian time.
No, he's gone. He's gone. He'll see that when you get there, he's going to tell you, you said 6 o'clock. This is 6:20. I've got someplace to go. And he's going. That's how he is.
How do you feel about that? For yourself, your own feeling. Are you more... Do you operate like that yourself?
Well,
do you feel like doing things, you say you're going to be in a place a certain time, you try to be there right on the button?
If anybody asks, wants to see me?
Wants to see you, or if you're going to see somebody else? You know,
well, you, I if I'm going to see somebody else, and if the person tell me be here at 6 o'clock, I try to make a point to be there at 6 o'clock, you know. Especially if I make an appointment with a person that I like to see the person for something. You know, I'm asking the person, like for instance, at his place, you know, then I have to show him that much respect. It's not for him to wait for me. It's for me to wait for him, because I want something.
I feel badly about not being here on time.
Yeah, that's right.
I should have been here, and I apologize to you.
Who?
Me.
No, she didn't. Clorinda didn't tell me.
She didn't tell.
She didn't tell me what time you're going to be here.
Oh, that's good. I'm saying
yeah.
Because
No.
I asked her to mention 1:30 because I had
a no,
schedule.
She didn't. She was supposed to come back and tell me yesterday. But like this morning I was saying, oh, well, he's not here. Maybe you'll be here this afternoon.
Yeah.
So I took a ride down Kilauea right after lunch, about, let's see, 1 o'clock or before 1. And then came back quick. So I guess you just missed me when I left.
Today?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, must have been.
Yeah, Because I was home up till 1 o'clock because my husband gets home for lunch 12 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, well, I didn't come over here till 2 o'clock.
Oh, well, so you didn't wait.
I came just before you came back.
Oh, well, yeah. So I guess she forgot to tell me.
Oh, that's okay, you know.
Yeah,
Like me, I don't know. My partner, like when we sing, he gets kind of upset with me because sometimes I'm late. So I don't get places on time. I'm more, I kind of like the idea of Hawaiian time, but it gets me in trouble sometimes.
Well, sometimes I like Hawaiian time, sometimes I don't, especially when you have so much, your schedule is set, you know, that you have to be here a certain place. And then your first appointment may be going to be 10 minutes late. Already the rest of your schedule is going to be all jumbled up, you know.
Yeah.
So if it's set by appointment, I like to be on time. But when they say not set time, I don't care. I just lag around. I don't care. I have all the time, you know.
Yeah, well, I sure appreciate you taking the time to get in the
seat.
Guys can use any help we can get. A couple more things I wanted to say. What was your father's occupation?
My father?
Yeah.
He's gone.
He was living here before, right?
Yeah, he was working for the plantation.
What did he do for the plantation? Was he working in the field? Or was he working
He worked out in a field before then. Then he was working in a mill. Then when he left the plantation to work for the, when the war broke out, he worked for Navy Yard.
That's when you were there too.
Then after he got laid off from Navy Yard, then he went on pension until he passed away.
Yeah. That's good if you work for Uncle Sam.
Yeah, that's right. You work for him for so many years, you know.
Did he catch pension from
Navy Yard
too?
No. At that time, they didn't have no pension plan. Before the war, they never had no pension plan. This pension plan came up after the war.
I That's with the union,
yeah? Uh-huh, that's when the union came up, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
This is much better,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then, well, you don't blame people. When they work, they want raise, right?
Yeah.
So they fight for their raise. But the stores bring up the price too. So it's just like you're back at the very beginning. That's true. That's right. So you can make $10 an hour. That food price going all the way up.
There's
no
keeping up with it.
Sure, sure.
Always going up. Was your husband born here?
Yeah, in a big island.
Big island?
Mm-hmm.
When was he born?
Huh?
When was he born? What year?
21.
He's Filipino.
Yeah.
Filipino.
Uh-huh.
And what, he works for the store?
Yeah, handyman. They call him handyman.
And did he do other things before?
Yeah, he was a truck driver for the plantation.
Mm-hmm,
plantation.
How come he switched?
Plantation closed down,
oh,
Kilauea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The plantation is power.
Yeah, all power.
Nothing left.
Nothing.
Oh.
That's the town you pass before you get here.
How old are your children? What are the age range from oldest to youngest?
44. Well, one of them was born on 45. One was born 1945.
The next 28.
And the next is 46.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one was born on 1950.
28, 27, 23.
Mm-hmm.
You got two boys and a girl? Or?
Two girls and a boy. The boy in the center.
Kids go through what? High school or?
Yeah.
Grade school or?
My oldest daughter, she went to high school and she went to community college. Then she finished up business college in Honolulu.
What
is
she doing?
She works for White Power High School, clerk typist.
My son,
he went to junior college in the mainland, San Bernardino, and now he's working in Kauai Surf.
What does he do, Kauai
Surf? He works as a bellhop over there. He finds that job better than doing...
Probably make more money,
yeah? Yeah. He makes more money. See, he took up to be a policeman, but he finds that he'll make more money as a bellhop, so he stick to that job. As long as...
The guy plays piano for us, I forget that guy's name. I don't know.
Oh, yeah? I don't know.
Japanese guy.
Yeah. Well, they change around, eh? So I don't know.
I think the officer has been playing here about 2 years.
And my youngest daughter, she finished high school, just high school. She wants to get married, so they got married. But it turned out to be the best. Turned out for the best because they're running their own business now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What's she doing?
The husband and her are running this, you know, tough coat. Rust-proof car, that's their business in Kapa.
that's a good job, especially around here with so much.
Yeah, because let's see. He have all the contract for all the car dealers, and he's got another contract to undercoat all the iron roofing, the plantations every year. So he's got his hands full.
I talk with so many women and men too, you know, but everybody has a different way of raising children, you know. Some like to give free hands, some like to hold back, some sort of in the middle. How do you feel about, you know, the best way to raise children in terms of discipline and, you know, whether you let them go their own way or you try to guide them?
I'm going to tell you how I raise my children. How other people raise their children, I don't know.
Yeah, I just thought about you.
Well, I raise my children, I believe this way. As they're growing up, I have to teach them what duties they have to do as a child. And as they grow older, I teach them about housekeeping, how to wash clothes and how to cook. And when they come to become a teenager, they start going to a show or a dance. I always have the time limit tempo to be home. Boy or girl, 12:30 is their deadline. And if they're not home 12:30, they're going to be punished for the next dance or whatever function, school function, they cannot go. I always do that to them, so they always were on time home. 12:30, but if they run into any trouble, maybe car trouble, or maybe one of the riders is not back yet, they call home. Then I give them another half an hour. Who knows? Maybe their friends say, "Oh, let's say another half an hour." But I just give in. I tell them, "Okay, I'll give you another half an hour." That's how I raised them. And I mean, they follow that ruling, so that's how I think. And you be too lenient to your children is not good, because they'll take advantage. They say, my mom and dad will let me go. And before you know it, they're stepping all over you. And then when you realize they're stepping all over you, you try to stop them, it's too late. You know, they're going to say, "How come? We've been doing this all along. How come all of a sudden you're stopping us?" And you can't tell them nothing. I mean, you have no grounds to even
stop.
Yeah. How come? How come now? How come we can't, all of a sudden we can't do it? Why? We've been doing it all the time. See, so you have to draw a line. You see, like me, I sit down and I talk to them. I tell them, my parents were strict before. I can't even go to a show. The theater was right next to our house. I can't even go because my father said, "I'll meet my boyfriend inside there." You know, he was very strict. So I tell my children, "You folks be fair and square with me, I'll be fair and square with you." I say, "Meet me halfway, I meet you folks halfway." And well, we've been getting along fine like that. That's how I feel.
But you thought your father was kind of strict.
He was very, very strict.
Too strict. You kind of thought he was too strict.
I know he was too strict. Very strict. And I don't believe in being over strict. And I don't believe in being too lenient, you see. So if you can sit down and talk with your children and draw the line, till where they can, you know, take advantage, and have an understanding with your own children, I don't think anything goes wrong.
When they were little, you ever tried using a little bit, try to
spank them?
Well,
Oh yes, yes.
they need Spanish.
Of course.
They need Spanish.
Of course.
But no, I was thinking about, did you ever try to give them things, reward?
No, no, I never did. That's one thing I never did. You mean after the spanking?
No, 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 not after spanking.
Oh, when they do something good.
Like, would you tell them that if they do stuff good, you know, then you give them reward?
No, no, I don't. I don't promise them that. I never did. But if they do something good, I always turn around and buy something. Then I give them, I mean, if I buy something for one child, I have three. Then if my son did something good, I go out and buy something for him. But I don't buy only for him. I buy for the other two. Here's something good for you because you did something good. And then I say, well, I bought for you two sisters too. How come? How come my two sisters have? I said, when I buy something for your sister, I always buy something.